Those of you who may have been here yesterday, and I realize some of you are not able to be here with us yesterday, but we began in this passage of Scripture, and actually exclusively in this passage of Scripture, in Philippians, and just picking out several of these phrases to emphasize and then kind of build some thoughts around these different phrases in this passage in Philippians chapter 3, especially verse 10 to verse 14, different challenges that I felt might be a blessing to you folk as they've been to me over these past years. And so let me take just a moment and read again tonight, verse 10 to verse 14, Philippians chapter 3. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have perhaps a little handout there. I trust that you do. And you will see there at the beginning of the handout just the more or less the key thought or the main point of each one of the messages that we have shared. The overall theme has been when the going gets tough. And in the Christian life, there are many times that the going gets tough. No question about that, is there? We all have spiritual battles, and we all need to be encouraged. We need to be reinforced in our Christian life. And that's normal. That's the normal Christian life. And so when the going gets tough, there are certain things that we need to remember. And the Apostle Paul points them out to us in this passage of Scripture. Number one, we must remember that our priority is progress, not perfection. So we need to just get with it, you know, make progress in our Christian life. And so that's always a question that we need to be constantly considering. Am I progressing in my Christian life? And obviously the ultimate goal is to be Christ-like, which is perfection. And but right now the priority is progress, not perfection. So let's get with it in our Christian walk. Secondly, we talked about this matter of remembering that our past is irreversible, so let's forget it. Nothing we can do about the past, but ask God to forgive us and move us on and pick us up and take us ahead. And so we just are so thankful that when God forgives, He just forgives completely. And we talked extensively about that. And then number three message this morning was our future is hopeful. So let's go for it. Let's just trust the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, you know, you can do great things through my life. And not because I'm anybody special or not because I have any great talents or any gifts necessarily, though we probably have more ability and gifts than what we realize. And when we turn our lives over to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I'm not going to give you first place in my life. I'm going to give you the only place in my life. And when we do that, we will find that God just uses us in a marvelous way. And when we reach forth unto those things which are before, as we were talking about this morning, we'll realize that there is much more out there for us than what we ever imagined that God would do in us and through us. And so this evening, this closing message, I want to talk about the fact that we should remember that our key is commitment. So let's grow it. Right? Let's grow our commitment. Let's not let commitment diminish, but let's grow the commitment that we must have in walking with the Lord. You know, commitment is such a scarcity today, isn't it? You know, I think we all realize that there is a great lack of commitment in everything today, in the workplace, in marriages, in our walk with the Lord, in our spiritual lives today. There is such a lack of commitment. Every pastor struggles with this. struggles with it in his own life, first of all, because pastors are the same as the rest of us. We struggle with these issues of being constantly committed and growing in that commitment to the Lord. But we struggle with that for our people, in the lives of our people, to promote commitment and just be committed to the Lord and sell out to the Lord. Give your best to the Lord. Because we all know in our hearts that the day will come when if we don't, we'll be sorry that we didn't. We will wish we had done so much more. But then the opportunity will be gone. And so anytime we can hear a message on commitment, oh, how we need to take it so seriously. So in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3, the little phrase that points this out in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark, reaching forth unto those things which I before. I press toward the mark. And dear friends, that is the issue there. That is commitment. The mark toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that pressing toward the mark is really speaking of commitment, a resolve in our lives that we are going to keep on for the Lord and keep doing what is right and just moving ahead with what is right. There is probably nothing in the Christian life more costly, really, more costly than commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will for my life, for our lives. And just think on that. There's probably nothing about your Christian life that will be more costly than commitment to the Lord, sincere commitment. I have found, and I'm sure that you have to some degree or other in your life, that Christianity without commitment is a very sad and frustrating way to live. Christianity without being committed wholeheartedly to the Lord is a very sad and frustrating way to live. You know, one reason why it's sad, because you really miss out on the best of both. You know, a Christian that is not committed to the Lord, you're not enjoying, and I'm speaking to myself, I've learned years ago that when you point one finger at others, you have three pointing back at yourself. That's the truth, isn't it, huh? But I have realized over the years that when there is a lack of commitment, we really lose out on the best of both worlds. Because a Christian who is not committed to the Lord and giving their best to the Lord and just pouring their life into the things of God and making their spiritual walk with God and their service for the Lord the number one priority in their life, then there is a feeling of guilt about that. I should be doing better. I should be doing more. And we're dabbling in the world and feeling guilty about that. It's a very sad and frustrating way to live. And the Lord doesn't want any of us to live that way. Half-hearted commitment. I find today that there are many people, there are many Christians who want to claim the title, but they do not want to pay the price of commitment. There are many Christians today that want to say, oh, I'm committed. I'm a committed Christian. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you a committed Christian? Well, yes, because I'm a committed Christian. I go to church, don't I? You know, or whatever. I'm a committed Christian. But dear friends, listen to me tonight. So many times we want to claim the title of commitment without really paying the price of commitment. So commitment is costly. It is costly. But and it's very sad and frustrating for a real child, for a born-again child of God, a true believer, to not be committed to the Lord. It's no way to live the Christian life. We find in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, that passage warns us of this. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" And so we need to count the cost of commitment. Commitment is costly. And so the title of our thoughts together, the price of commitment, the high price of commitment. Now, commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His will for your life, for my life, it has several price tags. You'll notice on your little outline there, we say price tag number one and number two and down through. There are several price tags to commitment. And I want us to just think about ourselves tonight. You know, let's not think of our husband or wife next to us or our children some friend that we know or somebody else in the church or whatever. Let's give ourselves a little test tonight. And let's ask ourselves through this message, am I willing to pay this price of commitment? There is a high price to be paid for commitment. And so there are several price tags attached to commitment that we need to be aware of, really, before we make that decision to be a committed Christian. Price tag number one is simply this, is biblical convictions. Biblical convictions. Let me just define this for you just a little bit. A conviction is a strong, uncompromising belief that will not be surrendered at any cost. That describes a conviction, a biblical conviction. It's a strong, uncompromising belief that I am not willing to surrender. I will not surrender at any cost. People sometimes die for their convictions. And they're not always noble convictions, right? We watch on the news all the time, and when it comes to terrorists and suicide bombers, and we could put it in a lot of the context of a lot of different situations, that people have convictions that they are willing to die for. In order to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have biblical convictions and that strong, uncompromising belief that will not be surrendered at any cost. And sometimes we as Christians are called upon, there have been many over the years called upon to die literally for their convictions. Conviction is always demonstrated by action in our lives. Conviction is not something that we just talk about, but biblical convictions that really leads us into commitment to the Lord is demonstrated by actions in our lives. In other words, you exercise conviction. You exercise conviction. We talk about our preferences, but we live out our convictions. And there is a difference between preferences and convictions. We talk about our preferences. These are our preferences. But we wouldn't die for our preferences, without doubt. But convictions are something that we live out, and you exercise your convictions. The Apostle Paul challenged us to be men and women of conviction when he said that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There almost seems to be a contradiction in that verse. Did you ever notice that? He says we're to be steadfast and unmovable, then always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, you know, I think of it this way, that we as Christians, we must always stand firm, but we must never stand still. We must always stand firm, but we must never stand still. Conviction is always part of the cost of any commitment, of any commitment. And biblical conviction is most costly because biblical convictions will put you in contrast to and in conflict with a greater part of the world around you. And that is on the increase. More and more as we live in this world, and the more that this world spirals downward, will we find that biblical convictions will put us in contrast to and in conflict with a greater part of the world around us and the people around us, for matter of fact. Therefore, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, generally speaking, we understand this verse to mean that we are not to let the world push us into its mold. I think that's kind of the more common general understanding of that passage of Scripture. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We generally think of that as meaning that we as Christians, if we're going to be committed to the Lord and walk faithfully with the Lord, we're not going to be able to let the world push us into its mold. But better still, I think, the more accurate translation of that verse, the meaning of that verse would be simply this, don't conform yourself to this world. Don't make yourself conform to this world. Or don't allow yourself to go on conforming to this world. We have a great responsibility in this matter. You know, if we conform to the world, it's not the world's fault. It's not the world's fault. So really to say, don't allow the world to push you into its mold, we're kind of saying if it happens, it's the world's fault. When I think the Lord wants us to understand that we are responsible for our Christian life. If we're not committed to the Lord and we conform to this world, that's our responsibility. That's our fault, our responsibility. So I think the verse really is trying to teach us to not conform ourselves to this world and go on conforming to this world. So we need to be very, very cautious about that. And it is true that there are ample opportunities every day, are there not? You know, several of you younger people here tonight, as well as us older folk, and we all face different types of temptation and different challenges. But there is so much opportunity out there to just conform our lives to go along to get along, so to speak. Now, let me just share a word along this line with you tonight. People with no convictions, you ever notice that people with no convictions are very easy people to be around? They're very easy people to be around. People with no convictions, very easy people to be around because they never cross you. They never disagree with you. They never rock the boat. They never confront you about anything. They never stir the waters or make you feel guilty. They are just nice people to be with. People with no convictions, just nice people to be with. And you might be thinking, well, that's great. That's what I want to be like. However, they accomplish little or nothing for God. They accomplish little or nothing for God because they have no spiritual backbone. They are what we call wishy-washy. And their philosophy is simply to go along, to get along. They simply go with the flow and the rise and fall of the tide. People with no convictions, very nice people to be with. Very nice. You know, if you want to have a friend that just never confronts you about anything and just thinks you're wonderful no matter what you do and it's just going to always be, you know, you're never going to have any issues with them, and they're always going to agree with you, then find somebody with no convictions. But, you know, when you have no conviction, you're of little use to the Lord, and really little use to anyone else in terms of being a help and a blessing to other people, because many times, you know, the Bible says, the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of the enemy, right? Now, how many of us would like kisses better than wounds, you know? I think we all would say, well, that's probably be my choice. However, many times those are not the things that we really need. Have you noticed in life that we seldom want what we need and we seldom need what we want? I've noticed that about myself so many times over the years. But conviction is so very important, to have biblical convictions. James has these not so flattering words to say about people with no biblical convictions. In James 1:8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Unstable in all of his ways. So let me just say to us, dear friends, tonight kindly, right? But I say it to myself. I say it to you, to all of us this evening. Never say that you have commitment to the Lord if you are not willing to pay the price of biblical convictions. Biblical convictions. Follow the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is so extremely important. We cannot deny and neglect the Word and stray from the Word of God and be committed to the Lord. The Word of God. That's why I emphasized in one of our messages, a time and place with the Word of God. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is so important that there is only one thing that is above God's name. Only one thing that is above God's name. You say, well, what could be above God's name? It's God's Word. It's the only thing that is above God's name. And we find that in Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I praise thee, will I praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thy word above all thy name. Now, why would God ever say that his word was above his name? I'll tell you why, dear friends, because if a man's word is no good, his name is no good. Isn't that true? If a man's word is no good, his name is no good. And so God's word, God himself says that he has exalted his word above his name. Now, that just teaches us the importance of the word of God. Gives us an understanding of the wonderful power of the Word of God. And so we must have biblical convictions and stand graciously, lovingly on those convictions. That's price tag number one. Price tag number two is right priorities. Right priorities. Our priorities are the things that we have predetermined to be most important to us, because they most effectively and most certainly fulfill our commitment to Christ and his will for our lives. Let me give you that again, may I? Our priorities in our spiritual life and our walk with God in our Christian life, our priorities are the things that we predetermine to be most important, because they most effectively and most certainly move toward fulfilling our commitment to Jesus Christ and his will for our lives. Now, it's very interesting that we as Christians say that we are committed, but we often give priority to things in our lives that not only fail to help to fulfill that commitment, but sometimes clearly hinder us from being able to fulfill that commitment. You know, this has been one of the can I just bare my heart with you tonight as another pastor? And I assume that the things that I struggle with, probably your pastor struggles with as well. One of the things that really burdens my heart is when I see someone in my church family give the impression that they are committed to the Lord. And if you ask them, they would say, oh yes, I'm a committed Christian. We are a committed family. We're committed to the Lord. And then you watch their lives, and the very priorities that they have in their lives do not move them toward fulfillment of that commitment, but rather move them away from the fulfillment of that commitment. They make decisions and they make priorities and they choose priorities that not only hinder their commitment to the Lord, but sometimes destroy their commitment to the Lord. And so what we need to understand, dear friends, is that if we want to be committed to the Lord, we have to step back and say, okay, the choices that I make, the decisions that I make, the things that I choose as priorities in my life are either going to enable me to fulfill that commitment to the Lord, or they are going to greatly hinder me or prohibit me from fulfilling that commitment to the Lord. And sometimes it's not easy to make the right decisions. You know, right decisions are seldom easy to make. But let's just ponder that and think about, do I want to be a committed Christian? As I look at you folks tonight, I think I can honestly assume that probably every one of us here, though I don't know you folks, but you're here tonight, it's Sunday evening, in church. And I think that every one of us here can say, yes, We want to be committed to the Lord. But it doesn't just happen because we say that. It only happens as we step back and say, okay, today I'm going to make decisions. Tomorrow I'm going to make decisions. Next day I'm going to make choices. And I'm going to set priorities. And are these priorities, are these things that I choose to determine to put first in my life, these priorities, are they going to contribute to that commitment to the Lord? Are they going to help me fulfill that commitment? Or are they going to be obstacles to that commitment? You know, I have to face that every day, and we all do. And it breaks my heart as a pastor when I see some of my church family, young moms and dads, for instance, young moms and dads making choices that is not going to lead to commitment to the Lord in the lives of their children or in their own lives. And time passes and they can't reverse those choices. I've talked to parents and years later found that their kids are out in the world in rebellion. I've had some of those parents, one dad in particular, he said, "Oh, Pastor," he said, "why didn't you pound me with a two before?" I said, "Well, you know, pastors can't be pounding their people with two befores. You know, that just wouldn't be a good thing to do, I don't think. Though sometime, well, never mind, you know." But you see what I'm saying, dear friends? It's a reality. So the obvious question then is simply this: have you set the right priorities that will support and strengthen and reveal your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you set the right priorities? Are you willing to step back and look at your life and say, what am I doing here? What am I doing? What about this and that? I'm not asking you to choose between right and wrong. All of us realize that, you know, we know what's right and we know what's wrong, and we're not going to obviously just choose something that's blatantly against the Word of God and that's morally wrong. We know that is not leading to commitment. But a lot of the choices that we have to make are not between right and wrong. They're between what is expedient in our Christian life. They're between what will lead us to fulfilling that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and actually hindering that commitment. And it might be something that's perfectly legitimate. Might be something that others can do without any problem. But it may not be something that you can choose to do because you know that this is going to hinder my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, dear friends, in our Bible reading, in our prayer life, in our faithfulness, in our church attendance, in our habits of television, or computer habits, in the choice of friends and pleasures and spending habits and education and the different things that we just choose to do in our spare time, we need to just ask ourselves, all right, am I a committed Christian? If I answer yes to that, I need to say, well, is the time that I read in my Bible, the time that I spend with God, is my attendance at church, are the things that I watch on television, so forth and so on, are these things moving me toward a fulfillment of my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do I have to honestly say, no, these things are a hindrance to my commitment to the Lord? Now, you know, dear friends, the choices have to be ours, don't they? You know, we can't. You know, I can't tell you what to do or you tell me what to do, but I can plead with you to honestly evaluate your life and your heart and say, okay, let me be honest with myself and with God about this. And, how that would honor the Lord. So we find then, I should not deceive myself into thinking that I am committed to Christ and to His will in my life if I am not willing to pay the price of setting priorities that support and strengthen my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then price tag number three is daily endurance. Price tag number three to commitment is daily endurance. Do you find, dear friends, that commitment, commitment to the Lord is seldom convenient? Commitment is seldom convenient. You know, if we think we're going to be a committed Christian and it's just going to be an easy thing, we're just going to be able to kind of go with the flow, and most of the time we're just going to be able to do what is kind of the normal, easy thing to do, dear friends, that's not the way it happens. Commitment to the Lord is not usually convenient. It is most usually not convenient. Usually it means difficult decisions. Usually it means making decisions that we probably don't really want to make. But they will be decisions that will bring great joy to our heart later on. We will be so thankful we made those choices. We'll be so thankful that somehow God, by His grace, put into our hearts to just do what was right, even though we didn't really want to do what was right at the time. But we knew this was God's will. And this is what's going to help me in my commitment, in my walk with the Lord. Daily endurance. Luke 9:23 says, and this is the passage that was read for us, "And Jesus said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I believe that the daily cross mentioned here, the daily cross, you ever wonder what that's all about? If a man will follow me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. I think that the daily cross that is spoken here and the commitment to Christ are directly related to one another. The daily cross and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ are directly related. The cross spoken of here, I think, I feel that the cross that's spoken of here are likely those things that God allows to come into our lives because we are committed to Him and to His will. Do you know, there are a lot of things that Christians will have to go through that you could avoid going through if you were not a Christian. You know, we like to tell people, if you'll be saved and receive the Lord as your Savior, then, you know, all your problems will just vanish away. I want to tell you, dear friends, tonight, the Bible says, and the Bible teaches us, that because God loves us, if you decide to be a committed Christian, you will probably face struggles in your life that you would not have to struggle with if you did not make that commitment. Because the Lord Jesus Christ allows things to come into our lives, and I think this is what's being spoken of here, the cross, the daily cross. He allows the cross speaks of those things that come into our lives that God allows to come into our lives that we would never choose to have in our lives, but He allows them to come because we have committed our lives to Him and He wants to conform us to the image of His Son, and this is the only way He can do it. Let me ask you something tonight. How much has God ever accomplished in your life through the good times? Oh, the joyful times, the great blessings. Oh, this is going so well, and I'm so thankful. How many things has God ever accomplished in your life through those great good times? I want to suggest probably very little. You know, God accomplishes His work in us usually through the struggles, through the heartache, through the crosses that come daily, because we love Him, we're committed to Him, and He is working on us, and He is conforming us to the image of His Son. So He loves us enough to save us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. And so He conforms us to the image of Christ, and He does it through struggles, through this daily cross that comes, these challenges. And every day is a new day of challenge in the Christian life to endure daily endurances. But for the committed Christian, God will be there for you every day. God will be there every day. You know, dear friends, if you will pay the price of commitment to the Lord, He will never let you down. He will allow struggles and difficulties to come to conform you to the image of Christ. But every morning when you put your feet on the floor, He will be there with you every single day. Therefore, Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Oh, I like to think of the prophet Jeremiah saying these words, and I can just see him just jumping for joy when he said these words: "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God will be there for you every morning. Do you know why that it is important to know that the Lord will be there for you every morning? Because Satan will be there for you every morning as well. He will be there for you every morning as well, after you. Because the Bible says, he is in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know what? The devil is after you. He is after you. And the devil never takes, he may be out to lunch, but he never takes a vacation, I'll tell you that. We know that, don't we? Right? And so we need to be reminded of that. Price tag number four is personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. To be a committed Christian, it will cost personal sacrifice. And because Luke 9:23 says, "If a man will come after me, let him deny himself." We don't want to, you know, we live in a society that doesn't want to know anything about self-denial. We want immediate gratification today. Dear friends, you know, tell me about it, right? Immediate gratification is the wave of not the future, but of today. Just immediate gratification. But that's not the Christian way. That's not God's way. If any man will deny him, will come after me, let him deny himself. And sometimes we have to be denied things that we would really love to have. For some, I thought of this, for some it has been even been the sacrifice of marriage and family. You know, that's a great, when young ladies want to grow up and get married and have a family, and men want to have a godly wife and have a family and a home, you know, sometimes in order to be committed to the will of God, there are cases where God has said, no, that's not for you. Because of the plan that I have for you, that's not for you. I'm reminded, and I tell this story often, I'm reminded of being in a missionary conference many years ago in a church in New Hampshire. And I happened to be in a conference with a lady who had been a missionary for many, many years. She was a middle-aged, older lady, actually. And that church had supported her. She never had married. That church had supported her for years. And every time, apparently, she went there, she always had to give an explanation whether or not she had a man yet, you know, whether or not she was married or had a boyfriend or whatever. And so she probably had the idea, well, I'll deal with this right off. So she get up, and I remember I was sitting right down toward the front. I was one of the other missionaries in the conference, and this dear lady get up, and she said, well, I want to settle this question right off. She said, no, I am not married yet. I haven't found a man yet. But she said, I have chosen a new life's verse. And my new life's verse is Luke chapter 9, verse 23, that says, if any man will come after me, let him. I tell you, the crowd just cracked up. If any man will come after me, let him. Now, because she didn't finish the verse, but that was her new life verse. But, you know, I say that to you, dear friends, tonight just simply to say that personal sacrifice is a part of commitment. And the philosophy of this easy today, of the easy believism of modern-day Christianity, is that there should be a Christian version. Do you ever notice this, that today Christians have this idea in general, that there should be a Christian version of just about everything that is worldly and secular and sinful? Why do we try to invent a Christian version? You know, a Christian version for everything that the world does. You know why we do that? Because we don't want to accept the fact that if you're a child of God, you have to give up some things. If you're a child of God and you want to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to realize there are certain things that we cannot do and that we cannot have. And we cannot even have the Christian version of it, because really it's not, it may be another version, but it's not Christian. You know, we could go into a lot of things talking about that, but don't be deceived by that, dear friends. Don't be deceived by that. There is not a Christian version to everything that the world has and does. And for the child of God, there are things we simply are going to have to say no to. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. The Bible speaks over and over again about the need to put off, to lay aside, to deny thyself. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, dear friends, tonight again, I say to us, let's not think that we are committed to Jesus Christ if we're not willing to pay the price of personal sacrifice. And then number five, the fifth price tag of commitment is ultimate accountability. Ultimate accountability. The committed Christian has to realize that someday I will give an account to the Lord. In Philippians 3:14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize. For the prize. That moment of truth, was I victorious or not? So we praise God that there is a finish line. There is a finish line. There is a goal to be reached, a prize to be won. And it's not about competition. It's not about doing better than someone else. It's not about getting there first. It's simply about finishing well. It's about finishing well. And it's about hearing those wonderful words that we all want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The price tags of commitment, biblical convictions, right priorities, daily endurance, personal sacrifice, ultimate accountability. Now, dear friends, let's ask ourselves the question, do I want to be a committed Christian? Do I want to be a committed Christian? I trust that you do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, tonight we thank you for this wonderful time together. Lord, these are very simple truths. But Lord, they touch the very core of our being. Because, Lord, they are exacting, they're precise, they're demanding. But, dear God, they are what you require. And we pray, dear God, that out of this group of people here tonight, that you would help each one of us to determine, yes, dear God, I want to be committed to you. And I'm willing to pay the price of commitment. Not just letting you be first, but letting you be the only one in my life. To just serve you with all of my heart, to give my all, my best, everything. Here it is, dear God, to you. May, dear God, each one of us make that commitment. And may we have the priorities in our lives from this evening forward that reveal that commitment, that enhance that commitment, and that bring fulfillment to that commitment. And we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.